Thank you very much, Pastor Thurton. It's a great joy for me to be here today and to have the privilege of just being in this wonderful service and seeing you folks and listen to you sing. One can detect the presence of the Lord Jesus among his people. And that is always exciting, isn't it? Isn't it? I should say. Feel free to speak to me because I'm going to speak to you. I want to bring you congratulations on this very important occasion, the 114th anniversary service of this church, this testimony of the grace and power of God. And we thank God for the blessing that has been yours over these years, for the pioneers who are now in glory, rejoicing in all that God is doing today, for the work that's presently taking place, the faithful preaching and teaching, for your pastors, for your leadership. You have something going and you should be giving God praise and thanks for it. This is great. I'm an evangelist and I travel across Canada and I'm preaching in many different churches, and I can assure you that this is a lovely sight today to see such a healthy spiritual congregation. And we thank God for the fellowship of Pastor Thurton. We've been good friends for a few years, and we thank the Lord for him and for his faithful testimony and ministry. Now for today, I believe the word that the Lord would have me bring to you is taken from the message that Jesus sent to a church in Asia Minor over 1900 years ago. He chose John, the old apostle, to be the writer of this message. Actually, he sent seven such messages from heaven to seven churches in Asia. And one of them, this last letter, was the letter to the church at Laodicea. He has some good things to say about the church, but then he has some warnings for them. And at a time of anniversary, we are brought to the place where we have to look in and see how we're getting on. And you don't just have to look to the financial sheet to see how you're getting on. That just shows you how you're doing financially. But how are you doing spiritually? How is your walk with God? Have you ever really come to know Jesus in a personal way? These are the questions that we have to ask ourselves at a time like this. And I'm thinking particularly of that verse that's found in Revelation 3, one of the best-known verses in the Bible, where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." It was the famous British parliamentarian Benjamin Disraeli, a great Jewish politician, who made the statement, and I quote, "The secret of success in life is for a man to be ready for his opportunity when it comes." These are very wise words. The secret of success in life is for a man to be ready for his opportunity when it comes. I'm sure that all of us at some time have visited Woolworth's store. It isn't the most expensive, although it seems to be getting more expensive all the time. F.W. Woolworth was raised in a very poor home in New York. As a little boy, he was allowed one pair of shoes a year. And for the rest of the year, Mr. Woolworth had to run around on bare feet. When he was 21 years of age, he was still penniless. And so he tried tackling two jobs at one time to try and earn some money. Of course, when you do this kind of thing, there's a danger that your health might break. And that's what happened to Woolworth. His health broke. He landed in hospital. And lying in hospital, he began to think over some of the places where he worked. And he remembered that in one particular store where he worked, there was a 5-cent counter. And there was nothing on this counter above 5 cents. And it was the most popular counter that he had ever attended. The people flocked to it. And so he said to himself, if I get out of here, I'm going to try and get a store, and I'm going to call it a 5-cent store, nothing over 5 cents. He got better, and you know the story. He got out of hospital. He found a store. He called it a 5-cent store, and it was an immediate success. He started another one. It failed. He started another one. It succeeded. And he kept opening 5-cent stores in city after city until he had the largest chain of 5-cent stores in the world. And the day came when he built the largest building in the world at that time, the Empire State Building in New York City. All because he took his opportunity when it came to him. In Revelation 3:20, we have presented to us the greatest opportunity ever to be offered to anyone. Because here we find Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and he's saying to us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. I'll come into her. When I look at these words, I can't help but see the wonder of his person. He says, I stand at the door and knock. For the one who is standing at your door today is the one who says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. He's the one who said, I am he that lives and became dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death and of hell. Here is the sovereign of the universe with scars on his hands and feet and side. The one who suffered on a cross for us to pay the price that we couldn't pay to satisfy the demands of a holy God. Here is the one who died on that cross for our sins as our Savior and substitute, as our Redeemer. This is the one who rose from the dead and who is triumphant and was accepted at the right hand of the Majesty on high, a Prince and a Savior. This is the one who is triumphant, enthroned, alive forevermore. And here he is in our midst this morning, and he's confronting each of us, and he's saying, I stand at the door. It's not the preacher. It's not the pastor. It is not the church. It is Jesus Christ himself. And he's knocking so that the person in there may open the door and hear his voice. It's the voice of the Son of God, and he doesn't wait until you seek him. He is seeking you. And he's seeking you today. Isn't that exciting? That God is interested in you and me. And that he's coming and he's knocking at your door today. He says, I stand at the door. I see here another wonder. The wonder of his position. I stand at the door. Now this is paradoxical. There's something unusual here. Here is the creator of the world, your creator and mine. And he's standing outside. Now, isn't there something wrong there? Here is the head and the founder of the church. The church has been built upon him as the foundation. And he says to a church at Laodicea, he says, I stand at your door and knock. You say, is Jesus standing outside the door of the church? I'm afraid he is. He's standing outside the door of the church at Laodicea. They're saying, we're very successful. Look at our annual report. We never had it so good. But in the estimation of Jesus, they were doing it all without him. They were so clever and they were so skilled and so talented. They didn't need him anymore. And so he was outside the door. My friends, it's a very sad day in the history of a church when they don't need Jesus, when they don't need the Holy Ghost. It's a very sad day in the church when they can function without the power and dynamic and the glorious fullness of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, I stand at the door and knock. No place in the program for Jesus Christ. My friend, do you think he deserves an outside place? That's where he is this morning in relation to many, many churches across the land. Some of them no longer believe in his deity. Some of them no longer accept his virgin birth. Some of them are lowering the standards of the holy ministry of the church. That's taking place in Canada today. And it's to me, it's a timely word that Jesus comes and he says to the churches, I, the Son of the living God, the founder of the church, I stand at the door and knock. Open the door. Isn't it strange how he's always seemed to have an outside place with so many people? At his birth, they gave him an outside place. For you remember that there was no room for them in the inn. An outside place, a stable for the birth of the Savior. And then, during his life, he said to one would-be follower, he said, the foxes have their holes, the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And of course, at his death, he was crucified outside the city wall. And he comes today into our midst and he knocks because perhaps you have been giving him an outside place in your life. There's no room for him. Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. I stand at the door. I heard about a widow lady who had one boy, and she wanted that boy to have a good schooling. But she wondered how she would accomplish this because she had to work very hard. She had to clean offices and homes and scrub floors and do hard menial work to make ends meet. But she had at least the satisfaction of knowing that her boy was working hard at school. And she saved every penny she could for his education. The day came when he left school. Went off to university. And mother sent him a letter every week with what she could afford. He worked hard and the day came when he became qualified as a doctor. Near the end of his studies, his letters to his mom became less frequent until they stopped altogether. And she heard that he was engaged to a very wealthy young woman. But he never told her anything about this. And then she heard later that he had got married and that he was a very successful young doctor in the big city. A few years went by, and then one day she got a letter. She recognized the handwriting. It was the writing of her son. He said, "Dear mother, I think it's time you were coming to have a holiday with us. Come and stay with us for a few weeks. The only thing I ask is that you don't tell my wife that you were my mother. Tell her that you were my nurse when I was a little boy." Well, not everybody would go in these terms, but her heart was just longing to see her boy. And so she went. Her son met her at the railway station, took her into his big car, and driving home, he says, "Now, mother, you'll remember that you are going to say you were my nurse." She says, "I know." And for a few days, she was more or less located up in that little attic in their big house. And that was her room, and she was told there, "When we want you downstairs, we'll bring you downstairs. When we want to take you out, we'll take you out. But that is your place, and you stay there." And one day when the young doctor and his wife were in the kitchen, he let it slip. He said, "I'll go up and get mother and..." "I'll go up." She said, "I have been really suspicious of this. You are so like her. And you've just admitted it. Why have you been telling me that is your nurse and not your mother?" Wreathed in embarrassment, with a very red face, he says, "Well, you know, you're from a very rich family and she's very poor." "She's very poor. That is your mother. That's the woman, obviously, who's put you through your schooling. Get up that stair. We must apologize to her at once. I hope she did that. Get up that stair." They went up that stair. They went in and the old lady was knitting something. They knelt down beside her. They put their arms around her and says, "Mother, please, please forgive us for the way we've been treating you. Please." And of course she says, "Oh, it's all right. I forgive you. That's all right. Listen, come on out of this attic. Come downstairs. Listen, there's the living room. There's the sitting room. There's the den. There's the place, the kitchen. Go anywhere in this home you want to go. Do anything you want to do. This is your home, Mother. We love you. We're sorry for the way we've treated you." And there was a big change, I tell you. What joy was in that home. But I can't help but feel that's what some of us have done with Jesus. We've taken him and we've given him a little place in our hearts and we've said, "You're our Savior. Now you stay in that little compartment. That's our religious side. And on a Monday morning, you just stay at home while I go to work. And I don't need you there. And so I'll work without you. And when I'm filling in my income tax, I don't want you around. And when I'm playing my sports, my games, I don't want you around. I want to be able to play a few fouls." Oh, no. My friend, Jesus Christ is Lord. You need to open up every door of your life to Jesus. You need to invite him in, "Lord, sorry for the way I've been treating you. Giving you a little compartment of my life. I want you to come into my business life. Come in and bless my business life and be my partner. Come into my sports life. Help me to be a good sport. To be happy when I win, to be cheerful and pleasant when I lose. Be in my recreational life. Be in my social life. Come into every part of my life." My friends, don't you think that that's what we need to do with Jesus today? He says, I stand at the door and knock. In another wider sense, our Lord looks out upon the unevangelized peoples of the world, and there are hundreds of them who've never heard of Jesus. And he says, if any man opens the door of his life or her life, I will go into that land. I will go into that people. You open the door and I will go in. John Knox opened the door to Christ in Scotland during the Dark Ages. Martin Luther opened the door to Europe. Thank God for those who opened the door, and Christ went in through the people. He wants to go into other lands through you. If you'll open the door. Oh, the wonder of his position. I see another wonder here, the wonder of his patience. He says, I stand at the door and knock. The language is so clear and plain that I'm sure the youngest of the children here today understand all that I'm saying. I'm speaking on their level. They know what I'm talking about. If I speak on the level of the kids, I know the parents will get it. 2 things are very plain, that when he's knocking at the door, the person who's knocking wants admission. He wants to get in. And that the person inside has the right to open the door or keep it closed. We have that power, that freedom of choice. The responsibility is ours. He knocks. He never enters uninvited. And only after we're sure that we've been heard and are not admitted, do we turn away. Jesus wants to be admitted to our friendships. He even recognizes our freedom in the matter. If he is admitted, he comes to dwell with us forever, to enrich our lives eternally. If he's refused, I'm sure he will turn quietly away, perhaps in his grace to return and knock again. Perhaps that was the last time. But oh, the patience that Jesus Christ has shown towards us. I wonder, has he been knocking at your door lately? Don't we hear his knock when we are unwell, we're lying in a fever? And we perhaps make promises. Oh God, if you please make me better, I promise you I'll go to church. I'll trust in Jesus. I'll serve you. And you get better and you've forgotten your promises. As you've stood at the graveside of a dear one, and you long for the touch of a hand that has vanished, and you long for the sound of a voice that is still. He comes and he knocks, and he says, you need me. I want to come into your life and be your comforter, and be your friend. And I promise I will never, never leave you, nor forsake you. I'm standing knocking at the door. Open the door, and I will come in. Did you notice the wonder of his plea? He says, if any man, any woman, any boy, any girl. While these words were first of all addressed to the Laodicean church, their language is so universal that it can be applicable to any human being in any age, in any land, at any time. This amazing promise spoken by the Lord Jesus can be pleaded by anyone who hears the divine knocking at the door. And this is opportunity knocking. Are you ready for your opportunity today as it comes to you? For God deals with us as individuals. The government gives you a number. I was asked my number on the telephone a couple of days ago. What is your number? What is your SIN number? What is your OHIP number? We've all got numbers. God doesn't give us numbers. He knows us by name. And one by one we came into the world, and one by one we go into the kingdom of God. Jesus says, if any man, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. What a tremendous statement. What a promise from the one who never lies. Open the door. It isn't a difficult thing that we're asked to do. We don't have to climb a mountain. We don't have to run across the continent. Open the door. And if you want to know God's forgiveness in your life, he says, open the door and I will bring you God's forgiveness. You put your sin and your guilt on the table, and when I come in, I will take it away and I'll give you the gift of my forgiveness and my salvation. Isn't that wonderful? When Jesus comes to our lives, he doesn't come empty-handed. He comes with his arms simply laden with gifts, the gifts of heaven. I bring you joy from heaven above. I bring you pardon, peace, and love. Oh, weary heart, oppressed with sin, may I come in? May I come in? Oh, how we can be enriched eternally by opening the door to Jesus Christ. A group of students from the College of Art were waiting for this opportunity. The teacher says, the weather forecast this evening is perfect. We're going out to the waterfront. We're going to sit. We're going to face the western sky. We're going to catch the glory of a sunset on our boards. Put on your backgrounds. Get your boards ready to paint a sunset. We'll be going tonight down to the shorefront. About 25 students turned up there with their easels, their boards, their little seats. They had their oils, their paint. Some had acrylics. They were all ready to start painting. They were there in good time. And the moment came when the sun went down and the sky began to change color, and the sunset was just beginning, a glorious sunset indeed. Teacher says, get ready, start painting. And while they were painting and trying to catch the glory of a sunset sky, the teacher went from one to another and was giving words of help and instruction and commenting on the work. And she came to one young fellow who was all involved in a little hut there in the foreground, and he was painting the shingles on top of that little hut with great detail. The teacher became very impatient and said to him, young man, the time has come right now when you have to choose between shingles or sunsets. And you know, my friends, the time has come right now when we have to choose between the trifling trivialities of this life or the big things of eternity. This is the time. And Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Your door. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Don't you think it's time you opened the door to Jesus and had something more than just a church connection? Have the head of the church living in your heart. Have a Savior, a Keeper, a Sanctifier. Have your Lord with you 24 hours a day. The one who has said that he would be with us all through the trials of life and the joys of life. And at the end of this life would take us home to be with himself. And if we open the door to Jesus in this life, he will open the door of heaven to us in the next. That's the way it goes. And my Bible says that now is the accepted time and now is the day of salvation. Your opportunity has come to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and to open the other doors of your life to him and say, Lord, I want you to come into all of my life, my home life. I want you to come be the head of our home. I want you to come into my business life, my social life, my sports life, my recreational life. Would you open a door today to Jesus? He is worthy. My friend, it's not that you're going to be impoverished by doing so. You're going to be enriched for all eternity and for all time. Let's bow for a prayer together. I wonder if, as you bow your head before the Lord right now, if you would like to pray a prayer along with me, inviting Jesus to come into your heart and life and be your Savior. This is a prayer of faith, inviting him. And when you invite him to be your Savior, he comes. So just where you are right now, would you like to pray quietly while I pray out loud? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me and for dying on the cross for my sins. I put my trust in you, and I believe you died for me. And Lord, I'm sorry for my sins and for all that has grieved you. And I repent of my sins. And I've heard you knocking at the door. Lord, I open the door right now. And I invite you to come into my life. Thank you for hearing my prayer and for answering it. Help me to confess you as my Lord and my Savior. And there's another prayer. Perhaps some of you would like to pray this prayer, inviting the Lord Jesus to come into all these departments of your life. Dear Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. But I confess that I have not always given you freedom in my life. And so I pray that today you would become the head of my home. I open the door to you. Come and be the head of my business life and my social life and my sports life. Lord, take control. Take the reins of my life. And be not only my Savior, but be my King and my Lord. From this day forward, may I be willing to confess you as my Lord today. And in the quietness of this moment, as we just wait in the presence of Jesus together, if that was your prayer today, as a Christian opening doors to Jesus, or as one opening the door to the Lord Jesus to come in and be your Savior, if that was your prayer today, can I ask you just to let God see that you meant it and to bear witness to it by raising your hand? Just put it up for a moment. Thank you. Yes, 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 thank you. Thank you, yes, yes. Are there others and you want to quietly raise your hand? I'm not asking for any further demonstrations, just that you're telling God, I meant what I did just now. I meant that prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Are there others you want to testify to? Yes. Yes. Thank you. God bless you. Dear Lord Jesus, may your grace abound towards each one that has responded to your call today. Oh, we ask that there may be a great enrichment of lives as Christ becomes Lord and Savior, that there may be a greater willingness to serve the Lord Jesus, being totally committed to him. Thank you for your blessing and your presence. In your precious name, amen.